obviously the news of the day when it comes to, I say we say Connecticut, and then there's the national news, then there's international news, then there's interspatial news, I guess. The double asteroid redirection test, the DART test, was seemingly from one level successful, right? Because it hit its target, basically. Whether it knocked that asteroid off its trajectory or not, I don't know if we know the answer to that. But Lon Seidman from Lon.TV joining us here on Brian and Company. Lon, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How's it going?
Good. I mean, I didn't see any images. Like, I felt like they should have sent another craft behind it so we could have seen the impact.
Right. Actually, there's a telescope image, which is also posted on my website in a little bit. There is a telescope image that caught it.
Really?
In the animation, yeah. I mean, all you see is like a little dot and a big puff of stuff, but it definitely shows that there was a pretty substantial impact on it.
And that's if you go to your YouTube channel or your website?
I'll find my website. So at blog.lon.tv, I'll be posting that up in a little while.
That sounds good. Listen, I guess there's a couple of questions I have because it seems so science fiction-y. But they have hard data that says this is possible?
Yes. So, and it's kind of, a combination of physics and knowing, the mass of things and the velocity of things. And so what they did here, which is kind of a smart way to go about it, first of all, they targeted something that has no chance of hitting the Earth no matter what they do to it.
Although they said the irony was, what if they knocked it off its trajectory and then made it go head toward Earth?
Right, exactly. And who knows? I mean, that could end up happening in some some weird scenario. But what they did is they targeted a system of asteroids. So there's a large asteroid, and there's a little one that orbits it. And so they targeted the little one. And not only because it's safer to hit that one, but also because you'll be able to see a trajectory change much more clearly based on its relationship to the asteroid that it's been orbiting. And it's been in a very stable orbit. So they have data, a lot of data before the impact, and now they're going to be looking for the next several months afterward. And apparently the Europeans are sending another spacecraft out to it that'll be there in a year or two to see the long-term effects of it.
But they know that if they hit something with enough force, they can knock it off? Or is this just like, we have no idea, so let's give it a chance?
Yeah, I think they hypothesize based on what they can observe that is the case, that, hey, if we hit this thing, they're hitting it at 14,000 miles an hour with a 1,200-pound satellite, which is moving, much faster than a rifle round would be, probably 7 or 8 times faster. So that alone is just a lot of force. And really what it comes down to is, what's the asteroid made out of? Because if it's not as dense as they think it is, that will obviously impact the results of the impact. So we'll see what the data comes back with. I think they'll see some shift. And, the longer you know about something, the less of a push it needs, because that push kind of gets scaled up over time as it moves in a new trajectory. So that's kind of what they're hoping for here.
We're talking with Lon Seidman from Lon.TV. I mean, you got several hundred thousand subscribers. You can get anything from screen cleaner reviews to Mac reviews.
I cover it all.
It's phenomenal. But I mean, there's a huge market for this kind of intel. So I think people obviously really appreciate it. When it comes to this, it's interesting you say that Europe's going to get out there, because part of me was like, I was saying this to Matt Soroy, our producer, earlier. Why are the Americans the only ones trying to figure this out? And is there some more of a global coordination here? Because I think it's a global problem if something was going to hit the Earth.
Yeah, you would hope. You see those science fiction movies where the whole world comes together to fight against the global threat. And I think in many cases it would. I think the international community would come up with an idea as to how to do it. Not to sound all, chest beating here, but the Americans are probably the most equipped nation on the planet to deal with this kind of thing. We have the least expensive and most effective way to get spacecraft into orbit quickly. So I think, the solution would probably be largely led by the Americans, much to the disdain of some of our less than friendlier countries these days, because we're the only ones that can really do it. Huh. The Europeans have a space program. They have launch systems, but SpaceX is now almost launching once a week, very rapidly, and it's only going to get even more rapid and less expensive with the new Starship that they're developing. So, I think you're going to see kind of the Americans leading the way. It looks as though our new partners for the next century or the next 50 years is probably going to be Europe. The Russians obviously are having some issues with us, and we with them. And, you know, that partnership, which led to the space station, is not doing as well as it was. And the Europeans are more eager to work with us.
Yeah.
And the Chinese are going on their own. The
Chinese going on their own. And who knows if Russia will have enough resources to continue anyway, because they're, I mean, I think that their economy is getting sucked pretty dry by this war with Ukraine. Though the one last question on this before I get to SpaceX and Artemis isn't SpaceX. I don't think. I think it's NASA. But when it comes to this, I don't know if this is an unfair question for you, but what are the odds anyway that something of consequence would hurtle toward Earth?
It's pretty good. It's just a matter of when. You know, we get hit all the time. You know, we're here because the dinosaurs got wiped out by one of these things.
Right.
So, you know, and it's not just the big ones. You can have a little one that, you know, is the size of a couple of buses that could wipe out a city. You know, just that kinetic impact, which is what we're testing against an asteroid, that same kinetic impact against the city is, you know, like hydrogen bomb level of destruction. And, you know, we're fortunate that most of the Earth is water, so the chances are it'll probably land in the water, but the one time it hits the city or something is when, you know, you wish you could have deflected it and knew about it.
We're talking with Lon Seidman from Lon.TV. You can go to his YouTube channel and check out all of his content he posts all the time, which I think is important to maintain that kind of thing, is to populate it with content. First of all, just remind people, what is Artemis? I know they brought it inside because of the storm coming, but what is it?
So it's basically the way to equate it is to the Apollo program, in that it's a program that is destined eventually to settle on the moon. So it consists of a lot of different components and different rockets. The Space Launch System, or SLS, is the first rocket in this program. It's an unmanned mission that I've now watched sit on the pad twice for two different launch attempts and not take off. And unfortunately, with the hurricane coming, they were forced to move it back into the vehicle assembly building to keep it safe. And it was very frustrating to them because they had spent so much time troubleshooting all these fuel leaks that they were having with it,
right,
to then finally fix it. And now they've got to wheel it back in, and who knows what it'll be doing when they bring it back out again.
So this could really delay it by a lot, depending on the damage of the storm.
Yeah, it likely will probably go to November now. So it's definitely going to push things back a bit. And the interesting part of this is that SpaceX is kind of racing to get their heavy lift rocket off the ground to show that it works. And I don't think NASA wants them launching orbital before they are. But at the same time, the Artemis program actually depends on SpaceX, because they are landing on a SpaceX lander. And the lander that they're developing needs to get fueled, and SpaceX will be fueling the lander with their Starship. So by the time we are putting people on the moon, SpaceX will have a fully operational reusable rocket program, and NASA has effectively invested in it to the point where it has to work, otherwise Artemis fails.
Well, I'm confused, though, because the big huge rocket to get to the moon now is a NASA proprietary rocket, but you're saying that SpaceX is also trying to create a rocket that'll get you to the moon?
Yes.
And so they're competing developing. With each other. Are they competing with each other then?
I have a feeling there are people inside of, I haven't gotten obviously anyone to say this on the record, but I have a feeling there are people inside of NASA that would really prefer to have something like the SpaceX Starship for their moon program, because it eliminates a lot of the barriers to getting back and forth quickly and frequently. So that is why they chose SpaceX to develop the lander. And in the course of that, they also have now made it so that the Starship program has to succeed in order for the moon mission to succeed.
Wow.
So I think we're going to get to a point where after this lander gets there for the first time, you know, you'd be looking around and saying, wow, we've got this vertically integrated product versus, you know, a rocket that is, you know, kind of based on 30 or 40 year old technology.
Which is weird. So like, why wouldn't they spend all this? We got to go. But I mean, why would they spend all this money? Why would they spend all this money if SpaceX is going to get it done in the end anyway?
I think quickly it'd be, first of all, congressional mandate. but secondly, because there's a lot of jobs at stake. But secondly, I think it's because they know that they could get that thing on the pad faster, which is true. It is built. It just isn't functioning as well as they'd hope at this point. But it is built and can go. So I think that was the thought 10 years ago.
Huh.
But a lot has changed over the last 10 years.
Fascinating stuff. It's kind of confusing, too. Lon, thank you so much. We appreciate it, as always.
Thanks again. Talk to you soon.
All right, Lon Seidman, Lon.TV. Check his out. His stuff, his YouTube channel is awesome.